I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Gary Webb. I am an investigative journalist, and in 1996, I wrote a series of stories entitled Dark Alliance, which was about CIA involvement in drug trafficking.
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
We've all been skull and bone to the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go on.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the rest.
Number 322?
I sad duty to report this afternoon that my friend and colleague, Tim Russert, collapsed and died early this afternoon.
I may die in this cell tonight or in the arena tomorrow. I am a slave. What possible difference can I make?
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
Welcome to another Already Dead. Project 2025 is upon us. Since the last time we talked. Hey, Jose Groupies.
Talked about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last time we talked, there was the election.
Right.
And we left at the, I think Trump's going to win. And we thought it might be close. It looks like it was basically a blowout. So... Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ended up topping out at over 300 electoral votes or not, or if he's even if they even counted at all. I think they're predicting him to kind of be at around 300 or more. And yeah, he won the popular vote by a sizable margin. Someone's saying my mic's a little low. Let me crank that up. Is that better, everybody? There we go. Let me know. Is that better? All right. But yeah, he won by a sizable margin, which is pretty fucking wild. So, and as I said today, now. We are in that weird in-between spot where we are in the realm of it's so over to we're so back to it's so over to we're so back and over and over and over and over again because mm-hmm. now we're in the time of picking appointments. So that's where we're at right now. But yeah, guys, welcome to Already Dead. This is me and Austin's weekly parapolitical call-in variety show. That's the state of the world today. Wild shit. That's a I don't know. I think the mainstream media is basically officially dead.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with that, my friend. I think it's like it's kind of funny because like I've been doing this. Well, I've been basically prepping for this part two for Mockingbird with William because ended up we had to reschedule for this Friday. Yeah. But
which by the way, real quick, I want to throw it up to my audience. This has been like the second or third time we've had to reschedule, and I'm sorry for my patrons. I've had so much going on in my life right now. This weekend, my mother-in-law died, so yeah, so we're dealing with that. So my my wife and kids, my wife's mom, and then my kids' grandma. Luckily, they got to say goodbye to her and all, but it's just like fuck, a lot going on. And then it was literally like that Friday when we were supposed to record is when we got the call that her liver was failing, and it was the following morning we got the call that like, hey, you need to get up here. So luckily she's only like 30 minutes away. So my kids and my wife got to say goodbye and, she passed shortly after they said their byes. So, I don't know,
sorry,
bummer,
brother.
But it is what
sorry
it is.
Sorry to hear that,
it
Jose.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good. It's not my mom. but yeah, no, it is a bummer for the family, but, yeah. So wild shit. So
yeah, no doubt, my friend. Yeah. We've basically just seen like. Kind of a emotional fallout, you know, to the election. Mm-hmm. And I would say like just the heightened tension, right? In no way has been eased I mean, like, just witnessing, like, individuals that I went to school with and I grew up with, and to see them kind of like embracing this new age stereotype, whether whichever side of the aisle they may happen to land on politically, right? As far as that spectrum is concerned, I mean, it's just a little bit more like, it's honestly embarrassing, man. Like, I've really felt like ashamed of many individuals, even though it's like, I know I'm clearly judging them, but it's just like, my God, how can you be reacting in this fashion? No matter if you're celebrating or if you feel as if right, the world has ended. And I've seen too much of that, obviously, but I still just, it seems to just fall into that vein of, you don't understand power. You do not understand the way that power is structured, the hierarchy, right? The covert hierarchy, that the clandestine, you know, right? The grand delusion, you know, largely, I would say, you know, orchestrated behind the curtain, that people just tend to be entirely just captivated by the theater.
People like to forget, right? Oh, so quickly how much RFK defers to Israel, to a ridiculous degree, to a the Pavlovian response type degree, like, to where it's like beaten into, like, the videos will drop immediately you say one bad word, like that level of, like, it's been programmed into his head, like he went to fucking some camp after Epstein, and they just you know, Clockwork Orange over and over again, show the results of what would happen if he opened his mouth. Mm-hmm. That is the degree to which he will not utter the slightest criticism of Israel. Absolutely not. And I don't know. There's not, and a lot of the other people are very, very much similar. So it is a, I don't know. It is
funny. It has to be sexual blackmail, man.
It's so hard to not roll my eyes every time people bring up, like, they point to RFK and then Elon. As like being like, look at these guys, and they're gonna fucking, they're gonna be cleaning up, making government more efficient. And you're like, what? Well, I don't know if I really want the government more efficient. I guess it depends for what. It's also I don't know that these motherfuckers are gonna be your saviors. I don't know. I mean, Elon, I think it might be out there, and I think like RFK might want to do good, but like he's clearly controlled. It doesn't matter if he wants to do good when he's clearly like that much of a puppet. He's like compromised to a degree to where it's like, oh shit, you will literally do anything, probably anything that you, that if they're like, we need you to go out and say this on a teleprompter, you go, okay, like whatever the thing is, you do it. So I mean Elon, I think it's a little bit more up in the air, although if you look at some of his connections with Peter Thiel and some of the, that shit, you're like,
I don't know, dude, you're
pretty spooked, dude.
That's it. I think it's, I think his entire identity stems from intelligence connections. Like, there's no way around it. And I mean, did you see, I think there was a pretty legit thread. I haven't gotten the chance to really go through it because I've been so busy. By the way, everyone, Pilgrim Society episode will be out by tomorrow morning at the latest, I promise. But anyway.
Tomorrow morning, probably about 10 a.m., I'll be doing another morning stream for you guys.
So nice. Pop up.
I think I'll be going through on last episode. I mean, obviously, we'll go through like the news of the day, but I do want to take a little bit of a deep dive. Last week, I went into the X dossier for the Jutro case. Think this time I want to go through the list of all the suspicious people died. It's something retarded, like over
20. It was Regina Louf. What, wasn't that X1?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I remember, because when we talked the other day, I couldn't for the life of me remember because I hadn't read the dossier in a while, but I went back over it. And yeah, it's just once you realize, you remember I brought up the fact that two of those girls that were abducted by Dutro had been hypnotized right at an event the night of their abduction, which, wow, like, extraordinary timing, right? And beyond that, there's like, you know, scandal surrounding the individual who put them in the trance, and things of that nature. But yeah, we can talk about that for a moment. But I do think that just to finish my point, like you see the people who funded Trump's campaign, right? That alone is kind of an indictment, right?
Oh, on, yeah. 100 million from Israel? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, Miriam Adelson. Miriam Adelson, sorry.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, she paid for the embassy to be moved. I mean, she legitimately, you know, has called for, her and Shmuley both called for, essentially, yes, like they are going to, you know, there will be an end result to the conflict in Gaza. And it's not going to be good for the Palestinians, right? Yeah. That's just the bottom line. And in many ways, I think it's predetermined at this point, right? And I think war with Iran might also be on the table in many more ways than one, I would say, including, of course, all the proxy wars we've consistently been involved in. But really, the Peter Thiel connection alone is... That's extremely startling to me, and I think should give everyone pause, and everyone pause, and go and do the deep dive into Peter Thiel and the PayPal Mafia and that network of individuals who, really, you can trace it all the way back to, you know, to Risingham and the Total Information Awareness Project, and when you get into all of that, brother, that was essentially what they had planned for, like Total Information Awareness, that was like the OKC era, right? And when we were just going over the Ted Gunderson OKC bombing report and looking into, what's his name?
Rokonoshuto.
Yeah, Michael Rokonoshuto. Yeah, once again, he ties directly into the false flag 93 Trade Center bombing. Mm. So it turns out, according to individuals surrounding that those cases, right, all connected. Rokonoshuto is connected to the 93 bombing as well, which is connected to Danny Castellero's Octopus and Cabazon Indian Reservation, right, which is connected. All so it seems like, what, according to him, there was this not only PatCon, there were parallel operations being conducted at the same time. And so they had the Muslim terror plot already a go, right? It was being, it had gotten the green light. You know, so I just think that once you kind of like realize and understand the timing and put it all together, and it all seems to make sense. And again, provides that perfect puzzle piece to where you understand that this was sort of a covert clandestine operation to seed just this thought into the public consciousness of domestic terrorism and international terrorism at the same time, right? And all of it would set the stage for what was to come, which was the OKC bombing, and then, of course, 9/11 in the distant future. Not too distant future, but yeah, it's just startling as hell, especially when I'm very excited to talk to Sam, because I'm not gonna waste this bullet here, but when he brought up the essentially like a compound in New Mexico where they're training mass school shooters, I freaked out. I paused the episode. I went and I looked it up, and it took moments, a matter of minutes. And what was revealed to me was another thread, credible thread, tying into, right, Omar Mateen, not just Omar Mateen, Michael Sanford, Micah Xavier Howard, you know, all these individuals who have been responsible and legitimately attempted to blow the whistle, saying that we were trained and radicalized through, you know, this online digital pipeline of radicalization.
I feel like I vaguely recall maybe Ken writing a piece on this forever ago, but then maybe that was just one of those threads that got dropped or whatever, you know, just like, whoa, holy shit. But I might be wrong. In the chat, I see Dr. Corbo saying, I don't remember, maybe he's brought this up before. I guess Ted Gunderson married the ex of the founder of the Church of Satan. That would be extremely suspect.
I thought he was dating one of the McMartin moms or something.
Maybe.
Whenever that was happening. I know that much.
He's getting nookie in the rag, I guess. he's terrible. An older fella, too. So it's like, what's going on here? Weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, Mary is Anton LaVey's ex. That's what he's saying here. So,
my God.
I'd like to know about that. If I don't know. That's wild.
Who's Anton LaVey's ex?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if somebody wants to
He's older, but he probably has a fat hog.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like
thanks, Jules.
That's what I'm here for, guys.
Hey, Gunnarsson was in it for the pussy, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, shit, dude.
Good on him. Just kidding. That's pretty awful to show up to like an terrible, SRA dude. Situation to get some nook.
No doubt. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeez. I think Diane is what he said. All right. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
It's been a minute. I'll look it up, bro.
I've been on the fence for Gunnarsson for a long time. That might really be like, all right, come on, dude.
Be tough to come back from that one. Yeah. Maybe he just really loved his work. All right.
Yeah.
That's right. Terrible, man. No, I just it's getting really hard for me to, you know, the veil has fallen to the side for me. So I'm not very much focused on what unfortunately it seems like is drawing the attention of the vast majority, you know, and that doesn't make me uniquely special in any way. I just think that once you can, you know, see clearly, you're not as imprisoned by the ideology, which you remember when you called me the other day, I was losing it for like 20 minutes on you, basically about how ideological subversion was being manipulated as a tool. And essentially all these various ideologies were created for this purpose. Right. And so Nazism, Bolshevism, Zionism are all just
like
tools.
Dialectical play off of each other. Yeah. Yeah.
it's one of the most extraordinary things that I've ever like really dove into because I found
it's a duality thing. Like if you look at like the Bolshevism, Nazism, like is a good, great example. I mean, we had that going or just fascism, communism against it, where it's like, really, they're just kind of like, if you understand like libertarian economics or Austrian economics or whatever, you have a good idea of that's like, really, it's just a matter of like, to what degree you're privatizing something. Like it's, there's not really like a meaningful difference in my opinion between like fascism or communism. But that is interesting that we spent like a whole century of like that being the great big fight of the world was these two, you know, ideologies combating each other. And then us sort of in there somewhere as like this other third option. But it was really came down to communism versus fascism. Yeah. And they were really kind of the same thing. So, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. Just there is something to that. I mean, and we've talked about too. Like you look at all the different, like even just look at the Abrahamic religions and how they play off of each other. And there's like definitely like a dialectical, like they play off of each other. So there's something.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
That. Yeah,
absolutely. I think like what you guys will find out through my Pilgrims episode that I'm about to drop is I take the time not only to try and kind of set the stage for the great rapprochement and the easing of tensions between America or the United States and the British, you know, the British Empire, essentially in the latter half of the 1800s and then into the early part of the 1900s. And it's really interesting, honestly, but I also kind of go off on this interesting thread that I think perfectly falls into place into the framework of the narrative, which is very much, you know, historical revisionism, but like there is no negative in my mind attached to revisionist history, right? Because it's so very clear and obvious that the official recorded version of history is just such a fable agreed upon, as they say, right?
And honestly, when anyone says revisionist, you know, historian in like a negative way, or even just even really generally even bringing it up at all, you're like, just like you're immediately like, oh, you're just a rube. You're just an NPC just rolling through the world. Go, da-da, this is information presented to me. This is the truth. I'm going on with my life. No desire to look any further. No critical thinking skills of the idea that like maybe what's presented to me is not truth. Like, nope, just words on paper. Someone of authority said it, therefore correct. Yeah.
Yep. There's not like, it's very much in the vein of conspiracy theorist, right? It's just used as a tool to discredit and and largely just dismiss any sort of alternative line of questioning. And that is typical when it comes to the establishment perspective, you know, and man, like that tweet that I made the other day, maybe I was just expecting people to read more of it. I posted probably too much.
On Twitter. You need pictures to draw people in, keep it 100%. Short. Like, and there's tricks to it.
Absolutely, brother. But I do think that it's like, at the very least, to see what, Roosevelt's wife was actually saying about power in an article that she wrote personally. It just absolutely blew me away, you know, and I think that especially when you look into, like, there's this amazing investigative article that's very long form, but it's worthwhile. And I'll send a list here in a second, Jules, to the I'll DM you the list because it's one of the craziest.
We actually got a super chat from Meat Cavern for $20, and it just says thanks, Jules. So you did something cool, Jules.
Jules, hell yeah, buddy.
Keep doing that because I like money.
Shout out, Will.
It goes straight to me. So maybe if we get enough of this money, then I will apportion of it to go to you. Thanks, that is capitalism, baby.
Capitalism, baby.
Well, that right. he's actually one of my Patreon subscribers and my highest donator of last week.
Hell yeah, awesome, dude.
Man. Shout out Meat Cavern.
Hell yeah, dude. Meat Cavern. Awesome. I think, and I can tell by that picture who he is on Twitter too. I recently just followed him. So there you go.
There you go.
All right, cool. Let's move on with it instead of focusing on the. but the thanks for the cavern. $20, Meat Cavern. Yeah. And all right, let's move on.
We love you, bro.
What were you guys saying?
Yeah. So I just was basically I was just making the point of essentially what the first lady had said, who was married to Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, on power. Yep.
I thought it was such a good example of this hidden framework that so many of us, again, I allude to it all the time, but so many of us have been just, you know, distracted, right? From asking the questions, I think, that are most vital and necessary to kind of gauge the world that you're a part of, just in general, you know, to kind of have just a fundamental working foundation that you can rely on and then move forward. Because the more and more I dive down these rabbit holes, the more and more I'm under the impression that, you know, there are secret fraternal organizations of powerful influence, right, that have been constructing global society. And in many ways, whether it's, you know, I'm not saying they have full spectrum dominance to the point to where they control every aspect of life, but I am saying that they essentially have infiltrated every single, at least at the highest echelons of every single industry that you can point to. Mm-hmm. They've insulated themselves from much accountability whatsoever. And I think that that's something that people need to understand, right? Yeah. And so, again, this is something that I'm very much looking forward.
Was this, I feel like maybe this was you who talked about this recently on William, on Ramsey's show, but it was the idea of equating this to like, maybe it was you, maybe I heard this somewhere else. Queen is like an Among Us game. Like, you ever played that game where it's like, you have like one person who's like the secret person. It's essentially the idea of like having predators versus prey.
Exactly.
But like the idea of the prey not realizing who the predators are because they're just among them, and like how that information gets disseminated. And essentially the whole moral of the story here is that like this kind of provides a perfect metaphor for like how secret societies would work. The
Absolutely.
Idea of being like, these are, you know, you can use satanic symbolism in the media or this or that. They have calling cards, ways to tell each other they exist or communicate messages. If you've read this book, you know, the chicken hawks that rule above us and how they would like leave coded messages to each other in like newspapers and just shit like that. Like ways they have to let each other know existence, communicate, but they're we don't know about them, and they're yeah. among us. Like, I guess right. you know, there's a play on words there. And it's so the
that's a great way to put it, but yeah, I remember so what like, you're saying. Now
you create these secret societies, and it's like it gives them such an advantage because oh, yeah. just and the idea, the advantage is knowledge, and that knowledge is oh just gosh, simply them, it. Like their existence. I mean, you can tier other stuff on top of this, like other knowledge, but just simply the knowledge of who they are is yeah. is enough. Just the fact of like. That they're not one of the herd. They're the predators that are like in sheep's clothing. Like that they're exactly. able to see that little bit of knowledge. The fact that they have their little fucking turn on their X-ray, their little obey fucking glasses mm-hmm. where they can see the real thing. That is their superpowers. They can wear it and they can go, oh, that's another one of us. That's one of my guys. And so that gives them power. Yeah. Just that absolutely simple does, bit of knowledge man. Alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like, oh, it was William brought it up. Mm. It was the game Werewolf, this ancient game.
Oh, I thought he was somebody among us, but it's the same thing as among
yeah,
us.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's yeah. essentially the same thing. And yeah, no one could spot the werewolf. You yeah. know, it's very interesting, but they hide among us and they wear these masks of ideology or, you know, let's say religion. And people just fall into the trance, right? And all you have to do is utilize the talking points necessary to kind of drive home the you know, like trigger that foundation of ideological programming. And again, they're triggered into the trance, right? And it's kind of an amazing system. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. If it's just one of the most evil things I've ever witnessed, you know, and it's funny because like I've heard it put into terms where, you know, it's almost like a way to circumvent karma, the way that they approach this perspective on essentially if we can't see it for ourselves and right recognize the unfortunate reality we face, then essentially it's on us, right? And so they kind of can subvert and you know circumvent the karmic consequences of these policies. Who knows? I've heard many ways that putting it out there, you know, and making it publicly available, as difficult as it is to find, is a way to insulate themselves from some sort of karmic consequence. Who knows? This is all just theoretical, of course, speculation. But just psychologically and philosophically, what an interesting perspective and thought to just consider, you know, but especially when we're talking about, like Dr. Corbo brought up of Grover Cleveland. That's crazy to me because this is the world that I'm living in right now. I don't know what it is. But these tangible threads are surfacing, and it's whether it's a conversation that we're having on Already Dead, or it's just like through the course of prepping for an interview or whatever the case is, these common threads resurface. And I learned something that I never knew possible. I didn't know that this individual actually connected into this former case that, right, I was unaware of. And so Grover Cleveland, well, he happens to be a member of the Pilgrim Society. And And so when you get into the reality of kind of how they utilized ideology and the framework of it all, because I think what's interesting is like, Jacob Schiff is this international banker, very much a prominent key, you know, prominent key individual as far as like in with the Rothschilds, or I think it might have been the Rockefellers, but either way, it's Felix Warburg and Kuhn Loeb and Company. And it's one of those old banks that profited off of the opium trade, right? And all of the, right? And so it's just, again, it's falling into that pattern. But Otto Kahn was a partner of Jacob Schiff. Like I said, notable Pilgrims member, very much potentially, it's just too much to go down that rabbit hole right now. But the point being is that Otto Kahn, this partner of Jacob Schiff, And again, the Kuhnleben Company is a bank that was tied to financing Hitler in 1933. And do you know this banker who worked for Kuhnleben? It's amazing. I'll get into that as well, just briefly. But mainly, it's interesting because Otto Kahn, this partner, he says, you say that Marxism is the very antithesis of capitalism, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for this reason that they are direct opposites to one another, that they put into our hands the two poles of this planet and allow us to be its axis. These two contraries, like Bolshevism and ourselves, find their identity in the international. These opposites, which are at the antipodes to one another in society and in their doctrines, meet again in the identity of their purpose and end, the remaking of the world from above, by the control of riches, and from below, by revolution. Our mission consists in promulgating the new law and in creating a God. That is to say, in purifying the idea of God and realizing it when the time shall come. We shall purify the idea by identifying it with the nation of Israel, which has become its own Messiah. The advent of it will be facilitated by the final triumph of Israel, which has become its own Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that alone, especially when you talk about the connections of Otto Kahn, Jacob Schiff, not only pilgrims, Aleister Crowley, Rothschilds, Rockefeller, Carnegie, every single Astor, I mean, every family you could ever imagine, right? Dynastic family that controls power, wields power in this world. You know, and it's just like,
so to recap that, the concept of trying to be its own Messiah, essentially it sounds like they were trying to will Israel into existence, and in their belief system here is that the Israel, the state, would be the Messiah. And I feel like I've heard this take. I am by no means good with Judaism, but I feel like I've heard this before, where some say it is the Messiah, or that's not Messiah, and this is where, like, there's some dispute on it and the way they interpret it. So I feel like I've heard this, something similar to this before, and this is part of where people come away with this idea of Israel being not a people and more of a place, and this is having significance. So you can get into the semantics of what matters with that, but I found that interesting, that it's like they're trying to essentially manifest a prophecy, is what it sounds like. They're Absolutely. Seeing the coming of Israel as manifesting their Messiah, and it's so, you know, then we have all these Rothschilds, and I don't know, all this stuff comes out of it. So it's like, to what extent was this being pushed from the very, very top, and the idea of it's just some religious prophecy being unfolded by powerful families?
Right. So... manufactured prophecy, right? Yep. Like, that's just, it's really brilliant. Again, like, yeah, one of the most brilliant ideas if you're considering full spectrum dominance, you know, like we've talked about before. And I'm gonna send Jules that list in a second, because I think it's crazy once you dig into it just for a moment. It'll really just blow you away. Once again, you have just something to consider when it comes to, like, John Foster Dulles. I had mentioned earlier that essentially the Dulles brothers were linked and tied in directly to funding Hitler. And so I just, like, I had to really pause when I found
Dulles,
this.
I think, tried to orchestrate, like, some, like, or he did orchestrate the escape of some, like, big Nazi general, and, like,
oh yeah,
did some other weird shit. Like, he was all clicked up with the Nazis. It's weird.
Like, yes, he was. Yeah.
Like, they seemed like they were betting on that fucking bull.
No doubt. Yeah. Did you hear about the business plot, this 1934 attempted coup? Same exact year that Hitler got his funding from the same banker. This was being planned in 1933.
State side or what?
Yeah.
Wait, the bankers coup of the United States bankers coup? Yeah. Oh, the one where they tried to put Smedley Butler as the
yeah,
thing, and he was like, what the fuck?
Absolutely. That's the one. That happened in 1933.
Yeah.
They wanted to install that is one of the weirdest wild factoids
of the United, that like people just forget that in like 1933. Oh yeah, the bankers like legit tried to almost pull off a military coup with like a 100%. Really well known military like figure as like their figurehead.
Oh yeah, they were oh yeah, they were showing him bank statements for like over $100,000, which were you know, the equivalent of over $2 million at the time, you know. And so it's just pretty nuts, especially when they're saying that because of his war record and you know, that essentially he was the one they went to because they thought that one, he was already a part of some of these veterans organizations. And then two, essentially, he would be the individual that could actually amass the troops necessary. And they said that they could get 500,000 troops operationally for him to essentially storm the Capitol. So I just thought it's just like one of the craziest things of all time, right? But again, guess what he said? Prescott Bush was mentioned as one of the individuals, and I'm just like, my God, it's all these Pilgrims members. And and it fits perfectly in. It's the same cabal that really kind of staged all of the different coup d'etats throughout the different administrations. And I think that Reagan was really just a placement for George Sr. Right. And that's very obvious. And, anyway,
wasn't he an OSS guy? What was he?
Oh, Prescott Bush, man.
Yeah, or
he started the CIA.
Oh yeah, no, he's OSS for sure.
That was weird. That's not me. That's you. Or I think it was Jules that did that.
Is that me? What happened?
Oh, Jules, the audio's going messed up, bro.
Are you like a cell phone in your hand or something? Because it seems like interference.
No, weird. My cell phone is not in here.
Huh.
Bizarre. All right. Well.
Well. To finish what I was saying, though, because I'd like to at least like state why there's like a direct connection from Dulles and the Dulles brothers and Hitler, was basically John Foster Dulles, Pilgrims member. Right, Alan Dulles, also Pilgrims member. Their brother, I think William Dulles, Pilgrims member. Maybe it was their uncle.
Prescott was a Geronimo grave robber, if I recall correctly, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was the Skull and Bones. Which, by the way, Skull and Bones, it tied indirectly to the Pilgrim Society. So, by the way, you can look up videos of Pilgrims meeting, and it's so weird. It's so strange. Henry Kissinger has given a speech to the Pilgrim Society. I'm like, son of a bitch. And then you go back even farther than that, and they're hosting the president of the United States in the 1930s. So it was very much in play for quite some time. But so it was even up until 1930 that John Foster Dulles, Pilgrims member, continued optimistic about American investments in Germany. Now, this is according to, I found this interesting because it's from a September 28th, 1944, Drew Pearson, an investigative journalist, published an editorial in the Anniston Star. And this, I think it circulated in a few other publications as well. But it's very interesting because basically if we're to believe these allegations, which seem to provide receipts, right? Like, then it's a very damning claim. And so basically John Foster Dulles, up until 1930, he was continually being optimistic about American investments in Germany. And so John Dulles made the statement in March 1939, that these dynamic peoples, Germans, Italians, Japanese, determined to mold their states into a form which would permit them to take their destiny into their own hands and to attain that enlarged status which under a liberal and peaceful form of government had been denied them. Dulles went on to explain and condone the effort of the dictator nations to enlarge their status, adding that only hysteria entertains the idea that Germany Italy or Japan contemplates war upon us. This is in 39. So this, no doubt, according to this 1944 article, was the Dulles speaking, who instinctively adopted the banker attitude of Chamberlain's and the Cliveden set, that some way must be found to safeguard investments in Germany. Undoubtedly, this also was the attitude of one important client of Dulles' law firm, the Rockefeller and Pilgrims linked J. Henry Schroeder Banking Corporation. So Dulles' brother-in-law partner, Alan Dulles, director of both J. Henry Schroeder and the Schroeder Trust Company, and the affairs of this international banking house are intimately tied with the Dulles law firm. So whether the Dulles brothers knew it or not, it was a member of this banking house, Baron von Schroeder, who financed Hitler on January 4th, 1933, when Hitler had made desperate efforts to get into power but had not succeeded. It looked as if he might not succeed at all. So,
which, by the way, suddenly, I was just digging into this while you were talking, because I was like, yeah. I was trying to remember what also Prescott Bush was known for, and like, and so I was just kind of like really quick doing a Google thing, and it was a he was a banker. I'm pretty sure, I forget which spooked up banker banking stuff he ran. It was something big. I don't think it was BlackRock. I forget specifically what it was.
It was involved in the financing of Hitler as well.
Yeah, I don't think it was BlackRock. It was some sort of other, like one of those like OG, like,
well, I know Blackstone.
Blackstone, is that Prescott Blackstone Bush
Group is involved in Pilgrims. I'm not sure. I know it's a more modern phenomenon. So
either way, they're a big banking family, the Bush family. So 100%. It's like, and I forget what it was. There's some big. I couldn't find it. Just on the. I think they hid that on the Google, but I forget what he's what he fucking owns. He owns something big, some like defense contractor or some shit. But he's like, they're a banking family. They're old money. So like it is wild. It goes all the way down to his dad. Who Prescott Bush was? Prescott was George and Jeb and all them's parents, right? So then you have Prescott, and their dad above them was also like a
Prescott was the grandfather.
Oh, it was the grandfather. George, and then there's another generation before that, which is Samuel P. Bush, which is like a steel executive. So that's where it looks like the money kind of. And from there, then it just goes into crazy generational money. So that was back in 18. Okay, he was in like lives until the 1950s. Their dad, Samuel Bush, but or not dad, their great grandpa, which is where the fucking steel. But point being is these guys they got lots of fucking money. So
absolutely.
Yep.
I'm sending this right now because I said I would do it way earlier. Yeah.
What's that?
This
I guess
list.
While you do that, while you set that up, I guess this would be a good time to remind you guys that today's episode was brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of the razor burn, the irritation, the ingrown hairs caused by those deep penetrating multi-blade cartridges, this is the way to go. Go back to traditional shave. You can shave just like your grandpa used to. Whether you're shaving your entire face or just edging up your beard, the single blades give you barber-grade shave for a fraction of price. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. That puts you about $75. Almost. And so that's shaving for an entire year. But let's be real. Run the math on that. It's probably going to last you a lot longer. I know it's going to last me years with the pack that I got. But if you're one of those people who shave on the regular, you might want to consider the Quarter Shave Club. They'll put you about 25 cents per replacement blade. This is a COVID mandate refusing company. This company was born out of refusing the mandate. Old Nadeau got told to get the pokey poke or get the fuck out of the military, and he got the fuck out of the military and created this company as a way to keep it moving. So support those that support us and support liberty, and use code Jose for 10% off your entire order at NadeauShaveCo.com. All right, let's get back to it. Let's go into the call-in portion as well of the show. Let me bring this up. And then after we go into what you went into, I think we'll probably bring Jules back on, see how his mic's doing. Cool. And then I'd like to talk, kind of recap a little bit on maybe some of the Dutroux stuff, because I think it has a lot of tie-in to a lot of the fucked up shit we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah,
it makes
buddy.
It a little bit more real. It's like, oh, we're talking about these big banking families and this and that, and you're like, okay, but what are these people kind of doing? what are these guys doing for fun? What are they all clicked up for? Why? Why aren't they just do all this stuff out in the open?
Right.
Dude. Makes you wonder. Yeah.
It really does, right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, homie from Rise to Liberty. He just mentioned that he meant to say, sorry, didn't mean to burp, but pretty sure he meant to say that the Bush family is related to the Obamas in through distant relation.
Yep.
William, explain that to me when I was on the show. It is amazing, right? So it very much interrelated families. And then someone else mentioned Fabianism. Absolutely. That's a massive, you know, I would say philosophical perspective and impact on kind of just the ideological, I would say, starting point for the controlling elites, right? So it seems to be this interesting, you know, philosophy that very much has to do with deception. And so when you see it over and over again, just kind of like resemble, you know, like Fabianism very much resembles like cultural Marxism. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like the new age version of how it's impacting our current state of society, right? And so Fabianism is kind of just kind of a distant inspiration that is very much still in vogue and people aren't aware of. And that, so that happens so often, right? It's just something that I think, again, you're only aware of it once you take the time to trace these credible threads back to right their starting points. And it's almost impossible to do this, but at the same time, I feel like you are consistent, like I feel rewarded.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Often at this point, just through my research. Like, I just feel like, thank God that I tugged on that thread months ago, because it's resurfacing again, as I mentioned before, kind of falls into that same.
By the way, I have a call notion. Coming in, so let me set that up, and then we'll get that money with us.
Cool. I'll finish.
Pull up, Austin.
Damn it. Jules, your mic is bad, brother. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. It's just static. A lot of static. That's I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe try and just reconnect it real quick. Anyway, while he's trying to do that, mainly I did send you both those links because one of them is much more in detail, the Pilgrim Society membership list, and it's amazing. And it's but it would take so long to actually look through that one because it's very much filled with excruciating detail, which is most important, of course, but just for the sake of time, it's probably not the best thing to do. Maybe just pull up, like, on that list, the first one that I sent, Tucker Carlson's dad is on that list. And so it's all in alphabetical order, and it's very long. But if you go down toward, like, it's Tucker Carlson's dad, so it's, I believe, it's under C, so try that. But either way, we don't even have to really look at it. I just think it's amazing because, once again, proves.
Sorry, guys. Hey, I got our caller in here with us right now.
Awesome, buddy.
Sorry, go ahead. You're on Already Deb with Jose and Austin. What's up, man? How you doing?
Can't hear him, bro.
Hope y'all can hear me.
Bo, I'm from Texas. Sorry, I accidentally muted. You're back. Bo from Texas, go ahead.
Hopefully y'all can hear me. I'm walking around at night. Always do when I'm listening to y'all show. I got something strange. Like, it's not exactly what y'all dealing with, talking about, but, like, I wanted to get it out there. Have you ever heard about the new MK Ultra is bots and AI fucking with people's brains? Like with Thomas Crooks.
Ooh, interesting.
Because I was listening to Low Value Mail with Danny Polishuk. Some of the people in the chat I see over there too. And he brought on this guy that's an actor, right? So like maybe he's making all this shit up. But it was very interesting hearing it and thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly during COVID, these Chinese dissidents were like bugging the fuck out of him, like magically finding him all the time and everything else. And, you know, like they would send him photos where they were taking photos of him, you know, like, hey, we got this. We know, you know, it's us actually seeing you. It's not some spammers or whatever. And, you know, he went very, very far with everything. He went to the point of like, oh, shit, I can't do this anymore. I'm crossing a line, because he was like feeding them little information from 2020 to like 2021, if I remember correctly. I can't remember the dates, but if you watch Low Value Mail and you look up the Chinese dissidents video, it'll talk about it. But and he, what he put in there was like he eventually called the feds. The FBI got a hold of him, said, you know, he told them the whole story. They said, you know, it's a good thing you talked to us, son. They're never going to mess with you again, but that's it. Don't do anything else. And then he tried to do a FOIA request act, and like everything's fucking blacked the fuck out, and it took him like a week to get it, which everyone's like, that's weird. But he was talking about one of the things is that may have been bots and AI trying to MK Ultra him, which was an interesting concept. I just figured I'd throw it out there to y'all.
Huh, it is interesting. Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that. You got anything else for us while we still got you here?
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to us when we were talking about the boys on the tracks in Arkansas.
Oh, shit. Yeah. No, that's that was a heater. I'm definitely going to have to dig into that one some more and do something with that at some point for sure. So
I wish I could throw more info at you, but like the way Google manipulates everything, like yeah. I can't find anything anymore to send to you.
It's hard. I appreciate you calling in, man. I'm going to let you go. We're going to talk about this whole idea. My mic's doing the weird thing again, but we're going to talk more about the idea of like MK Ultra bot type stuff. I appreciate you calling in. You have a good one, man. All right.
All right. You do the same now. Later. Both of y'all.
See you. Bye.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I don't know what's going on with my mic. It was working just fine. And then I went to the call-in portion and now it's doing that thing where it like cuts out if I get too loud. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. Whatever.
I'm not sure as far as, you know, what techniques they're utilizing other than I believe EMF is, you know, functional. I think that they can hack, like basically tap into electromagnetic frequencies and target individuals. You can read about it in CIA dumps, right? Like whistleblower documents from Vault 7 that show like they are capable of pulling up outside your house. The local cops have the technology to pull up outside your, oh yeah, it's amazing. And you have fully, you know, we're fully mapped at every moment, right? Satellite mapping, like people have no idea, right? The level of intrusive behavior the government is consistently operating under. It's amazing, man. They can see, you know, your naked body, right? From outside the house, like 100%, right?
Yeah.
And people.
Rise to Liberty says he's talking about targeted individuals, the weaponized aspect of modern MK Ultra. So I mean, I guess kind of like a gang stalking type thing with.
Yeah. Well, that fits with Steve Smith and the psychopath.
Think about though. This really reminds me of there's been a couple times where I've seen weird social media fuckery around some sort of big narrative or something. There's been multiple times. there was the Eliza Blue thing. There was the definitely COVID stuff where you'd see stuff that were like, there'd be like bots and you'd almost see like you'd see whole accounts that were being made and that you could see the extent to where like reality was being distorted by social media, whatever. And so now think about applying that concept and then expanding it. If you were to try to gang stalk someone, just torment someone's existence. And if you had the technological capability to dick with all this shit, like what you could do to someone, even just as simple as like stuff as like the Google suggestions you get or whatever, like the type of data that like just you could do all sorts of like incredible like mental torture to people.
Absolutely, man.
Like the equivalent of like The Office, where they would like take like Dwight and they would like add a quarter to his like his phone every day. Like just all sorts of weird ingenious shit they could do to manipulate your daily living experience that would drive you nuts.
Yeah. And that's just you know, really just social media being used as a tool for deception in many ways, right? And that's you know, as clear as day, in my opinion. But what I think is pretty amazing, though, is the things like the voice of God technology, right? And so even while you're sleeping, allegedly, right, you can be basically subjected and targeted and kept in dissociative stress, and allegedly programmed with subliminals without your knowledge. So yeah, like you read what they perfected, right? Like they say, okay, yeah, we did it. MK Ultra's over now. Like no, absolutely not. And so it's amazing to me. People don't realize how much neuroscience plays in and factors into this. And that's where I think James Holmes is such a great example of that, right? I mean, come on, just what he was researching alone, let alone his father and grandfather's connections. It's really just one of those things that, you know, it doesn't stand up whatsoever. But you mentioned just the deception of the search engines. My God, my friend, when I did the DARPA LifeLog Project episode, that's one of my all-time favorite episodes, mainly because I really felt like it offered a window into the totalitarian technocratic state that is, you know, encroaching around the corner. And everyone seems to say, oh, J.D. Vance is a great pick. It's just hilarious. They have no frame of reference, right? Why do these individuals, right? Why are they chosen? Because they represent a network of power. That's why, right? And so as long as we understand that, I think then you can kind of engage with reality in a way where hopefully you won't end up entirely deceived and in the upside down, you know, moral framework, right? And so keep in mind, the same senior CIA official and CIA NSA contractor involved in providing the seed funding for Google were simultaneously contemplating the role of data mining for counterterrorism purposes and also developing ideas for tools actually advanced by DARPA. What do you know, right? And so LifeLog, Facebook, was just a prison for your own making. It was voluntary. Give them the keys to, right? The key that is entry only into your prison cell, basically, right?
We got someone joining us. We got client number 9. By the way, boy, guys,
what's up, buddy?
I want to remind you guys that this is a perk you guys can get. If you support me or Austin at our patrons, our Patreons, we give out our StreamYard link for every episode, and usually the day of, and you can go in there and just click that link, and you can come on just like old client number 9 here, which is his thing on the bottom still. yeah, and you can come in, and this is pertinent for you guys because we have Sam Tripoli coming on next Monday. We're changing the day from Tuesday to Monday. We'll be going a half hour later than normal. So yeah, if you guys want to come in and talk to Sam and shoot the shit with us, that's your way to do it. Give either me or Austin a couple bucks, at least for a short period of time, and then you can do that and do that for future times. So yeah, definitely show up for that on Monday. But yeah, man, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Nothing much. How's it sound?
Good.
You're good, buddy. All right, there we go. See, I told Austin we upgraded the microphone tech, but I had something I was going to say, but that caller was awesome. So in addition to like technocratic gang stalking, which is interesting enough, I've not gone down that rabbit hole, but I will. the bots as I saw it, were used as a fad creation tool, which is almost more dangerous, especially you see now these girls killing themselves because Trump won the election and stuff. That's all spun up by, you know, fake stuff online, and you can kind of create a fad. And you see it when people do it as a troll, like they did the go bald for BLM thing, or like the Zoomer tattoo with the Z, and it ended up being like an SS logo. So you can see that, like in real life, trolls can pull it off. Imagine what government deployed bots could do that look like they have a real following. I mean, that's a powerful tool. And I'd been kind of offline with Austin saying, like, with all the talk of esoteric secret societies, are we in one? Sam would be like the Pope. You guys are high priests. And then like all the people in the chat are kind of like, because you see, you guys were talking about the Diddy stuff in like March. And then I came on and spurged about it in April. And just recently, a woman at work who might be listening, what's up, Lauren? But she was like, hey, you were talking about all that rapper stuff and all that came true. And like, if you kind of lay it out there, and I'm not good at math, but you guys were 7 months early on that. Yeah. And then you see other places where you're like way ahead of the curve, and people start to pick up on it. And they go from thinking you're crazy at the time to later, they're like, whoa, you kind of build from there, and you have this network. And I mean, we're like hand gestures and robes away from being what you're talking about without all the kid banging and stuff. So anyway, right. Here's your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically we can't be secret because we're pretty open about it. But I guess a public society? I don't know. That doesn't sound as cool. We live in a society. I don't know.
Yeah, like the antithesis of the secret society.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We live in a society. Yeah, I think that kind of, there's something to that. There's something to that for sure, yeah.
Well, they all seem to swear oaths for the secret knowledge, the hidden knowledge, right? So really, I mean, maybe that's all is necessary because most of these secret societies aren't very secret. Right. Yeah. So it's like all you have to do. They have membership lists. Right. And that's something.
We just have books you got to read.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
That's our secret knowledge.
But I do
buy the book, bitch.
Right. No doubt. But I do think that kind of the concept is valuable as at the very least. Not saying that of some, you know, exclusive fraternal organization, but I think the value of, you know, what I would say, just like-minded, you know, the like-minded nature of attempting to, we're networking as it is, right? And I think that the first thing I told you, Jose, when I came on your show the very first time was, and this was just off the cuff, like my honest, you know, authentic reason for the mainly why I did this and started this podcast was to find my people, man. I felt so isolated, right? And just in, not just because I'm living in LA and it was COVID, but ideologically, my ideas, you know, I don't subscribe to an ideology, but my God, it's so lonely when you can't have an open-minded conversation with just anyone remotely close to you. And when something like that takes place, you kind of reevaluate and realize, you know, what you find to be, you know, the most pivotal and crucial to focus on and prioritize. And I just like, I thank God for clarity, you know, because I lived so much of my life distracted, you know, like just falling for that theater of deception, you know, and
bot farms,
bot farms, falling for the trend, falling for whatever is
spent your whole life arguing with a 5-follower account that probably wasn't even real.
Yeah, exactly. And so the value of breaking free and breaking out of that mold, right? The prison, the ideological prison that was built for us, that is, I think, paramount. And I think anyone who's attempting to bring people along the path, right, which that is what really the ultimate goal of a secret society is, right, is essentially constructing society in your own image in a way, but also bringing along this exclusive group, this, you know, valuable path that at least seems like it provides something more worthwhile than the alternative, you know? And
agorists unite.
My God. Right. In the least communist way, right? Like, because I absolutely hate collectivism. I think philosophically it's inherently flawed. I think that anytime you're associating yourself with groups to a certain extent, you know, then you're really just pigeonholed into defending against something. And honestly, man, it's another constructed prison, right? So I don't know. I think that it's what should be of utmost importance. Do not have heroes, right? Like, kill off your heroes. All of mine are already dead, right? Ew. And so I do not feel sorry for people who just consistently, right, fall into that trap of idolizing strangers, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I can't stand about. I was so seduced by Hollywood as a child, and to realize how valuable that tool is for them, you know, it turned me against all of it. It's so difficult. It's for me.
Cool seeing it breaking though, like that apparatus is broken. Like, even for normal people, like, I feel like they just don't have the sway like they used to. No one gives a fuck when they trot out the Avengers to be like, I'm voting for Kamala. Like, cool. That's fun, I guess. Like, no one gives a fuck. And, like, the mainstream media, like, actually people supposedly delivering news, that is just poof, gone. Like, I guess there's positives for the Trump thing. Obviously, we have our jaded. I have Bobo Makua. Said, Jose, if I remember correctly, the most active place on Reddit is a Florida military intelligence Air Force base that barely has the bodies for the amount of accounts that's there.
Oh,
that's
kind
of that makes sense. Yeah. That checks out.
That's up in the panhandle, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it didn't say anything about the panhandle, I don't think. It didn't name the place, but just somewhere in Florida that has more
military. Yeah. Military intelligence bases like that. I just remember, for example, in Omaha, Nebraska, when Franklin was happening, right? Yeah, well, guess what? Michael Aquino was visiting this parish very nearby, a military intelligence base. Yeah, 100%. And so where do you think they were flying these kids in and out of? You know, it's like, yeah, we have records of them doing it publicly by this woman who's like, yeah, it seemed very strange. These kids wouldn't even react to me. They were like robots and they were well dressed. It's like, it was like one of the most insane stories I've ever heard. And they had an apartment complex, so much like Columbia Plaza and the Watergate operation. It's like, what the hell is going on? You know, like, I understand that, you know, the CIA had a sex division where they focused entirely on, right, that sexual blackmail, and their whole goal was, all right, we need to seed and infiltrate, you know, CIA operatives with dual loyalty to military intelligence into police departments all over the nation, right? And we're going to run these operations. It was a part of Operation Chaos, you know? Not only were they staffing universities with professors, man, they were running cops, right? So you had, it's just, it's extraordinary to me. Right. Yeah, and I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted to jut in here to say we do have a couple more super chats. JC says Jules knows. I believe that was after he was having issues with his mic.
Hi, JC.
We have Meat Cavern again with $10. Not as smart or as eloquent, but y'all gave me perspective to check myself. I'm glad we gave you that. By the way, I do want to get into, while we've got probably about 20 more minutes, I wanted to get into talking a little bit about the Dutroux shit again, to pick your brain on it again. So you can stick around if you want. I don't know if Dutroux is in your wheelhouse. If it is,
not really. I didn't want to stand in the way of it. That's why I was going to get ready to jump out, because I like hearing about it, because it freaks me out. But, and also, sorry for your loss, by the way.
Oh, appreciate it.
Been there and Yeah, prayers.
More of a bummer for my wife, but yeah, it's a does appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Yeah, you have a good one. We'll see you. All right.
See you, buddy.
Let's see if Jules is working again, because I know he has a lot to add to this.
We're not home yet.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
Talk to me, Jules.
Talk to me, Jules. Talk to me.
I'm worried about his mic, man.
Talk to me, Jules. You're not talking to me. This is awful content. All right. Oh, well, I'll keep you there. You can try to come in again. I don't know. See if you can't make it work. But yeah, I just wanted to pick your brain because I went through the X dossier, and tomorrow I think I'm going to go through the suspicious deaths, which there was a lot of them.
That was Jules. That was Jules' addition to the conversation the big hog from earlier. So
okay, but
sorry.
Actually, I'm gonna shut off the call in portion now since we're going to throw us off because I did want to dig into this.
my bad, dude.
I guess just kind of a quick recap. Okay, my understanding. I've never been really good at like getting the whole. You have Michelle Nihul, which is essentially the. It seems to be kind of like the Epstein really here, but the focus always ends up being on Dutroux, especially since he's the one who got the bulk of the legal problems and attention from all of this. So he kind of got the shine. I believe Michelle or Nihul or Nihul is his last name. I believe he like literally got like less than a year when it was all said and done.
The beast of Belgium, he said.
But Dutroux was essentially just a guy doing his dirty work, nabbing people. He ended up getting charged, I believe, for four deaths or something. They found four bodies on his property. But then there was Nihul, who had made claims to journalists and stuff that he was carting around. Essentially, he was kind of a dealer to these highfalutin people, a lot of Belgian nobility. It seems to be, which in Belgium, particularly the way Gladio was set up was through the royals. Yeah. So it is kind of like, it's also, there's a weird, like Gladio dimension to this as well.
Directly too.
Yeah. So it's just, I know going through the X dossier, which my understanding was when they were, the authorities were investigating this, they took the X dossier. And well, the XDLCA was their like all their shit put together essentially.
Yeah.
And they did a bunch of research. They got multiple people who were witnesses or whatever. They were, you know, and they were marked by like X1, X2, X3, X4. There were at least four of them, and those and then it got shut down at some point. I believe that's when the XDLCA got shut down, if I recall correctly, when the first judge got swapped out. I believe it was Judge Conrad, who had been
tended the reason event.
It was a conflict of interest. They removed him because went to a luncheon for like some of the
victims' families.
Yeah, the victims' families.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild, and then funny that the judge that then came later had all sorts of like conflicts of interest, like insane.
Absolutely.
I forget, like ridiculous.
They had to reread their testimony and everything. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
But point being is that the swapping out of Conrad was their way of, you know, shading the X dossier in a bad light, saying that these clearly because of Conrad, there's a conflict of interest, and they're all just trying to make them the nobles look awful, and this is all just some conspiracy against them. And this was what gets the X dossier shut down. Later, it gets leaked to some journalists. I believe it also gets dumped on WikiLeaks. And this is where the information comes out. Obviously, whenever it got swapped out judges, then it became a whole other boondoggle that eventually, when it was all said and done, Dutroux did get charged for, I believe, four deaths. I forget the specific charge. And then Nihul got like nothing, basically. He got like less than a year. So you had one guy that literally only got charged for the bodies that they found, which this guy likely killed scores more. More people and did way more like awful things. And he only got nabbed for that. And then everyone else got off scot-free, very much similar to the Epstein situation here, except for this one has a lot darker notes. Although I haven't dug deep enough into the Epstein stuff to think maybe there's more Like, if you, I haven't dug into any of the Epstein people's, like, any victims, like, you know, claims, and maybe there's
never some, read anything this bad.
I mean,
though.
Don't get me wrong, those are fucked up too, but they're like very much like in the realm of like weird, but I can like wrap my head around it. Whereas, like, when you get into like this stuff, you're like, what the fuck?
I told you, Jose, the darkest thing I've ever come across. Like, honestly, man, like, I've never been shaken to my core. To where I was sobbing, man. You know,
what,
like,
the fuck?
It's one of the saddest things of all time. I'll send both of you a long form investigative article that goes through all of it. And
we got you back, Jules?
It sounds good. Jules.
We hear him for a second.
Oh, yeah, no, he yelled, what the fuck? I thought he was adding into what we were talking
again.
About.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
At least his mic's technically working.
Yada yada yada. Very dark stuff. All
right. right. Yes. It's something that will never leave me. Like, it's one of the stories that I think is closest to my heart and soul because of the depth of depravity. Right. And I think and the connections are so credible and deep to Paul VandenBenen's, you know, Benoit de Bonvoisin. Right. Like these aristocratic oligarchs that ruling families in Belgium that were running Gladio. Right. And it's so amazing. Once you look up Paul VandenBenen, look up that dude. I wish Jules was here because we need to put his face on the screen.
I was looking forward to digging into this with Jules because Jules gets really into the esoteric side of things. And there's that as well with the Abraxas.
Yeah,
I believe there was
Abrasax is what it was technically called.
And then wasn't there some other group involved? Was this some Others of Darkness, or am I thinking of something else too? Or maybe it was Abraxas. But
this was, the Cult of Anubis, essentially.
Cult of Anubis and then Abraxas. Okay, a lot of weirdness there. So I assume maybe Jules would be, he's back, by the way. And so, hey, Jules, talk to us.
Can you hear me?
I can hear good. You now. There we go.
What the fuck, dude?
Cool. Now we got you back.
Dude,
right,
I don't know,
brother.
This now happened on my Patreon episode. Is it
now
too
we're
loud?
Talking Dutro? We just got to spooky stuff.
is it too loud?
No, you're fine.
No, he's not great.
Fine.
Wait,
you're
it's
fine,
not great? Thanks, Austin.
You're fine.
I think you sound beautiful, Jules.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do you have any thoughts on the Abraxas Institute in regard to the Dutro affair?
Well, since you ask.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, the guy, I'm pretty sure, what was his name? Francis Desmet or whatever. He was married to the Grand Priestess, the Wicca Grand Priestess, Supreme of the Belgian Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something there in the fact that you see this castle referenced a lot in a lot of
which is not something we focus on too much. I know you have an episode where you went into it, and
that is
a big thing. Is that the castle was it, which adds another spooky layer to all of this? I guess it's the equivalent of kind of like Epstein's Island, but they had a castle where all this weird dark shit was going on. So.
Yeah, the Chateau de Emeroy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it was built. Who lived in it? King Leopold II. Owned it, and then Princess Marie of Hohenzollern. And if you know that prefix of that last name, Hohen, it's a royal bloodline. I think it's that one family, the Hohenlohe family, and I think it's Dutch, but Jesus, my kids are yelling, they're always yelling. And then it went to the Saxe-Coburg family as well. That's what I have here in my notes, dude.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Sorry, I pulled these out just a minute because I heard y'all talk about them. And so that's cool. And apparently the Solvay family owns it now. I think it's the Solvay family. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think high-end rituals happen in this place.
Mm-hmm.
I think Belgian royalty has been tied into almost every single mystery school and secret society. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that
came from, like, we're talking about the same, I believe it was the Illuminati that was from Belgium, right?
That was Spartacus Weishaupt that created that. Isaac that was the just first... his.
But that was Belgium, right? Or am I mixing up my countries?
I'm not sure which country technically was the Illuminati.
I thought it was the Bavarian Illuminati?
Bavarian Illuminati.
And I guess it was in Denmark? Or?
What is Bavarian? What is Bavaria?
I don't remember now.
People just say that.
I'll look it up.
Like, I don't know.
You're going to
look. But go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, when this happened and when Mark Dutroux came out about it to the police and everything, like, he was referencing this castle.
South Germany.
Okay.
South Germany.
He says
Free State of Bavaria. Yeah.
I feel like it's probably in the same rough area as Belgium.
The same group of
They're running Gladio out of there, you know.
They all came out of Germany, right? Like, mm-hmm. Most of these families came out of Germany. They all came from Vlad the Impaler.
Germany was just honestly a useful tool, right, in many ways. And that's why, like, the Bolshevik Revolution itself was, right, entirely staged. You know what I mean? So it was all just to secure the assets. But go ahead, Jules.
Well, no, I was just going to say, when you have this many generations of elites living in there, doing God knows what with God knows who.
The Pink Ballets, my friend.
Well, man, I don't know.
They recorded everything, too, in that castle.
Wait,
everything.
What?
And everybody knew about it. Yeah, they had VIP events at this castle that you're talking about. The Belgian castle where they would have the pink ballets. And even the victims knew that they were being recorded, the ones that survived, you know. And each room was equipped with audiovisual blackmail. It's the same thing. It's the same playbook over and over. How many times can we see the same thing? But yeah, that's what was happening at that castle. So Michael Aquino, Michael Aquino was touring those castles. He went to the same castle on a UN mission, peacekeeping mission, to hold a satanic ritual at the castle of the Nazi SS, right? That was perfectly outfitted for their rituals. What do you know? And he was well known for going to Belgium, right? So,
yeah,
Michael Aquino's in it deep, up to his eyeballs, right?
I'm sure. And there's some with castles, dude. And y'all mentioned earlier, Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. It's funny that we're talking about Vlad the Impaler, too, because on my Friday night stream, I pulled up this. It's from this one channel that I used to watch a whole bunch before, years ago. And it's this party that Elon had at Vlad the Impaler's castle.
He
had all his friends there, and he's wearing that
the Satan armor,
Baphomet armor.
No way, brother.
That's where that suit comes from. I don't feel like he's worn it multiple. I feel like he's worn it a couple times.
Is very old.
Wow.
Something is telling me that suit wasn't.
I
just
wonder
like
how many times he's made worn that thing. Because if that's the only time he's ever worn it, and that's where that photo comes from, that's wild.
Hey,
it's still his profile pic, by the way. That still blows my mind.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Maduro is someone we can trust as a valuable source, but he did say that Elon is a part of the satanic secret society, right? And like, legitimately was it's amazing when and he mentioned specifically.
Like, I get it. Sometimes these weird people can be eccentric and like be a little bit weird, or they're just doing it to be cheeky, or because they think it's cool, or say when it's like metal. But it's like, I don't know, something about Elon being like one of the guys of the world, like the main people. Like he's up there. Like, if you need top 10 like wild people, like you're like notable people in the world, he clearly clears that list.
And now he's best friends with Trump.
Yeah, and now he's
basically in the White House,
Satan
right?
Satan armor. I don't know, just something about it. I don't know. It just seems weird. And it's still his profile pic, which is like clearly Satan the Deceiver. Yeah. And then I didn't realize he wore that too. That's wild.
That was at Vlad the Impaler's castle. And that castle is creepy as fuck on the inside.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's bro. How
Which
you
is
would
imagine. The big thing is that they claim that, like, most of, like, royalty and politicians that matter come from Vlad's bloodline, supposedly.
I think it's every like, president at, but yeah. one.
Yeah, and you look at it, it's like, I believe, like, Kamala and Biden and Bush and, like, Obama, they're all related. It's like, it's wild. It's like, it's crazy when you really dig back a few layers deep and you're like, oh, these motherfuckers, they're all just banker fucking fuck trophies all over the place pretending like they run each other, run us. Like, that's all it is. It's like fucking theater fag bank fucking banker family kids that like are like, we run the world.
Oh, yeah. No, they're very unimpressive. And they're all false prophets. Right. And he's just the face as far as the false prophet of the totalitarian technocratic state. So I don't know. It's pretty cute that anyone values Elon Musk or what he provides the world, because you look into where all of his money is. Right. You look into.
Wait, I will admit the armor is badass. Looking.
It is. Yeah.
But it is straight up like it's gay as like fuck, it's a pentagram. It's literally I
that's what
it's
I'm saying. You're right? gay as fuck if you're putting a pentagram and fire behind. You're a faggot, bro. That's like I cannot stand Elon Musk, and I can't stand anyone who falls into the trap of worshiping this false prophet. And that's what everyone consistently does, right? Yeah, and so I just consistently hear the same repetitive narrative that tries to. Right. That in my opinion, man, like all you have to do is trace the thread of the PayPal mafia. And there you go. You discover Elon Musk, the spook, and you no longer fall into the trap. It's not hard. Right. And it's really just people, you know, desperate. Right. They're desperate for hope. And I understand it's a sad reality if they do truly possess the amount of power I believe they do. But
dude, like the stuff that came out of the case with Mark Dutroux is like what, like four cops and a city treasurer were a part of it or something.
Probably
like how many more? Those were the people that got fed to the wolves, right?
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean, let me see.
They had to give some. Oh, Jose with the book, dude.
I'm trying to see the all the deaths. Yeah, I'm looking. There's a bullet point. All the deaths. There's 25 just bullet points deaths of in here of suspicious deaths in relation to the case.
Oh, yep.
So
in relation to the case.
What book is that again?
Eye of the Chicken Hawk.
Eye of the Chicken Hawk.
I gotta order that.
Yeah,
I mentioned
it'll
that
fuck you up a little bit.
I'm already fucked up.
No, I remember I mentioned
the
that
first,
part.
The first chapter is on snuff.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah, it'll fuck you up a little bit.
I'll keep it away from my kids.
What do you know about Dominique Kindermans? Do you know anything about that high priestess of Anubis? The Belgian cult
of the Wiccan Grand Priestess of the Church of the Belgian Church of Satan. Grand Priestess Supreme, it says.
That's with lettuce on it too, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. Not much about her, dude. Not do you? I have a feeling you do.
I just have what Bernard Weinstein said. It's okay. You can say whatever you want, Jose.
I was gonna just about to put it, bring it to a close, and say we can come back to it after, because I'm gonna cover it tomorrow, anyways. But I guess we could. I don't know if that might be a good tangent to bring Sam along.
I think Sam is curious about that subject. I think I've heard him like infer, but no one's really known too much about
it. If we can get Sam to start parroting that, he will go fucking nuts. Especially since I'm gonna cover the suspicious deaths. I'm also, we might be a little bit more brushed up on our Dutroux knowledge by next time. So, guys, definitely show up next Monday. This will be the 18th at 10 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. if you live in the hellhole that you call California. Austin, let people know where they can find you at, and we'll go ahead and get out of here.
All right, brother. Follow me at the Underclass Podcast on Instagram, at Underclass Pod on Twitter. Just listen to the episode that I'm about to publish tomorrow, because it really does kind of like provide some sort of like window behind the curtain. So hopefully, you know, it's one of those that I'm like, really kind of desperate to move on from. I'm kind of more excited to get into the next thing, to be honest, because it was very much like, look at all these different individuals and organizations and institutions that are connected into this fraternal organization of powerful influence, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can only do so much with the story. You know what I mean? And so it's like one of those things that...
And this guy, and that guy, yeah, and this guy.
Exactly.
And this guy, and that guy.
100%, man. And it's something that by the end of it, you're just like, please, let me move on. But yeah.
It's like one of those books in the Bibles is just a genealogy.
Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
But I did my best to try and kind of offer at least some kind of like comprehensive format, because I think it does come across what the overall impression and message is. So anyway, other than that, it's about the Pilgrim Society. Yeah, I'm just honestly, man, I'm very excited to talk to Sam next week.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, that'll be awesome, brother.
Touch base with him and make sure he remembers he's coming on next week. But
yeah, I'm gonna hit him up soon.
But all right, I appreciate everyone who showed up tonight. This is fun. It was a little nice little pick me up with everything I'm going through. Yeah, guys, everyone show up tomorrow morning at 10 Eastern, and then also I'll probably be doing another one on Thursday and Friday as well in the morning. So I'll be mostly Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the occasional Monday, Tuesday. I'll be doing roughly around 10 in the morning stream, so pop in for that. We'll go over the news of the day type stuff, go over some other deep dives. Like I said, tomorrow I'm probably going to go into the suspicious deaths in the Dutroux case. If you want to support me, you can go over to patreon.com, just NoWayJose2020. The lowest level is $2. That allows you to be get early content like the No Way Jose episode. I have Lena Ajit coming on Thursday. She's one of the people helping out with the Long Island serial killer thing. But we'll talk about a lot of other stuff too. She likes to research a lot of the same stuff that we do. That'll be great. So if you want to get that early, about a week or more early than everyone else, that's the place to do it. Also, if you want to be like one of the talking heads that alongside me and Austin every week on Already Dead, you can do that. This is the time to do it. Next week, Sam, at 10 Eastern on Monday. If you want to be able to come in and say hi to him, this is your time. Go support me or Austin, and we'll give you that StreamYard link to do it. Also, the highest level, that's my sponsors. I read them off every episode of my co-host on Tower Gang, at Tower Gang Dode. I have at Abrogate D's, at Z-O-V-E-R-A-C-K, at _ Imogen Zeal. Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy Podcast. You can follow him at Biblical Anarchy. I also have Tim Tuttle. Follow him at Jolly on Klebold. Then Will Bell of What Makes This Delicious Blueberry Rabbit Eye Wine. And then a big fan of the show, at Real Josh Elliott. And then Torin May as well. I appreciate everyone who supports me, helps me do what I do. And keeps me keeping on. But like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Boost this up in the algos. You can follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. And with that,
Hey, Jose.
Whoa.
Hey, hold on, huh? Hey, I got can I shout out something real fast?
No.
Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, I don't care.
All right. Friday night, guys, having Mark Steves from My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast on Gray Pilled.
Nice.
I think 8:30 or 9 o'clock Central. Yeah, man. It's been a long time coming. Next morning, 10 o'clock.
When is this?
This Friday night.
Okay, then this you Friday. Should check with him since he's Sam's booker. Just make sure, hey, Sam's still on for Monday, right? Just
I
check
will.
With him.
Oh, for real? You're having him on?
Yeah,
Friday night. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was the Mark. I didn't know Mark's last name, honestly.
Yeah, man. Booker, Mystic Mark.
That's hilarious. Morning,
going on Strange Brew to do an episode on the Protocols of Zion. So that will be on my channel. That's going to be, it's going to be at 10 o'clock that morning.
Going hard on the paint.
Then Sunday.
That's one of my favorite things to read through, dude.
Well, bro, tune in. Sunday, doing an Elohim etymology, hopefully that morning, and then a cryptid watch that night, guys. So, this week's going to be banging. And then tune in on Monday on RA Dead for Sam Tripoli.
I saw someone putting your AM. I'm assuming, I don't know if you're referring to my streams. I have my morning streams, which I'll be talking about the Dutroux stuff tomorrow. But I also, if you're talking about the Sam episode, that'll be instead of on Tuesday, it'll be on Monday. And instead of at 9:30, it'll be at 10. So it'll be a half an hour later, a day earlier. Make sure to pop in for that next week. But yeah, like, hit a like on these motherfuckers. You know, it streams out to my YouTube, also to Austin's YouTube, and then to my Rumble as well. So like it, boosts us up in the algos. But we're getting out of here. Love you, fuckers. Bye bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.